Sarah, let's strike up the band. Later today, up in New York, a sibling showdown in primetime, the Williams sisters, Venus versus Serena, for the women's title at the U.S. Open. Yesterday, younger sister Serena Williams put away Martina Hingis 6-3, 6-2, while older sister Venus was just about as overwhelming in putting down Jennifer Capriati 6-4, 6-2. A few men will also play semifinal matches today. Ron Rappaport is still on vacation. That's, I think, he's the president or something. So we're joined again by John Shuley, a contributing editor to Sports Illustrated, when he's not writing and producing in Hollywood. John, thanks for being back with us.
My pleasure to be back here. What a nice wake-up call.
Thank you. Listen, this has got to be a fruition of a long-held family dream and pretty exciting for sports fans, too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Williams sisters... Really, our Venus in particular she's like nothing women's tennis has ever seen. She's absolutely an all-time dominant force. And her sister Serena isn't bad. Serena won the U.S. Open Championship a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Venus won it last year. Uh-huh. And she's this year's Wimbledon champ. And, you know, I mean, it's, you know, they're just an amazing thing to behold.
What do they represent that's different in tennis? Sheer athleticism is often cited, but you know, some of us remember Martina Navratilova bringing that kind of athleticism to the game. There seems to be another dimension.
I think particularly in Venus's case, and I hate to keep shortchanging Serena because I'd hate to play her in tennis. Venus just has this incredible, fierce, Jordan-esque, if you will, competitive streak. Mm-hmm. She's a killer. And I think that maybe more than anything else, is what separates her from the pack.
Let me ask a quick question about the guys. We saw another Sampras versus Agassi match.
A classic.
Yeah.
A classic. Four-set tiebreaker. I mean, really one for the ages. One that brought back memories of Borg and McEnroe in 1980. This was really, this was Ali Frazier in Manila. This was two aging all-time greats, maybe taking the last greatness they had out of each other.
Quick question again, too, about the National Football League. NFL seems reconciled to opening the season this weekend with replacement referees. Now, John, why does a business that pays a third-string running back several millions of dollars a year blanchard paying more to the people who, in theory, supervise the game's integrity?
Because they think these guys are replaceable parts. And believe me, if Peyton Manning gets hurt with a cheap shot in his first game, mm-hmm. if somebody blows a call that costs a game, man, you are going to hear some howling, because players and coaches and team executives are very concerned. In the National Football League, you know, you're trying to keep a lot of borderline sociopaths under control every Sunday.
You mean the players or,
yeah,
or
well,
a few of the owners too, perhaps?
Sort of a universal thing there. But, yeah, I mean, the officials, as much as we moan and groan about the zebras, the real zebras, they're very important.
John, let me bring this up with you last. Crash Davis died this week. Now, let's make plain, he was not the inspiration for the character, the same name in the Ron Shelton's 1988 film Bull Durham. Ron Shelton just borrowed his name. He found it in an old record book. But Crash Davis, who I met on a few occasions, certainly went on to try to live up to the name. People would ask him, were you a technical advisor on the film? And he would say, only on the sex scenes.
And typical ball player.
And he taught himself, Crash Davis, to recite this famous speech from the film.
Well, I believe in the soul. The small of a woman's back, the hanging curveball, high fiber, good scotch, that the novels of Susan Sontag are self-indulgent, overrated crap. I believe Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. I believe there ought to be a constitutional amendment outlawing AstroTurf and the designated hitter. I believe in the sweet spot, softcore pornography, opening your presents Christmas morning rather than Christmas Eve, and I believe in long, slow, deep, soft, wet kisses that last 3 days. Good night.
Good night.
I think he's right about everything except maybe Susan Sontag. But, John, to get back to sports, does this year in Hollywood, does this tell us anything about life imitating art the way Crash Davis took on his own character?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this was, he's lucky he had a movie this good to do it. And that may be his inspiration because it is the best baseball movie ever. And it's not even a baseball movie. It's a love story on two levels about Crash Davis, this journeyman minor league baseball player who is in love with a game that doesn't love him back. And it's also about how he falls in love with Annie Savoy, a quite lusty and quite wonderful junior college teacher in Durham, North Carolina.
Yeah. You know Ron Shelton a bit.
Yes, I do.
He was intrigued by setting up this story, wasn't he?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this because he was an old ball player himself. He knew what it was like to be out there. And that scene on the mound in the movie, if you recall, is just one of the classics of all time, where they're talking about what to get for a wedding gift and whether they should sacrifice chickens to break a slump. And, that's what really goes on out there, folks.
John, thanks very much.
My pleasure.
John Shulian, back with us this week. He makes more comebacks with Michael Jordan speaking from Hollywood.